bad, and God is good. Good all the time. Let's talk about it on Key Life.
Matt, we're Steve Brown, and this is Key Life, a no-nonsense approach to God's Word. If you have a Bible, get it, and let's see how it applies to real life. Steve?
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, open it to the book of Deuteronomy. We've been, over the last 2 weeks, really taking some time to dig in and look at some handles in the book of Deuteronomy. And I hope that if nothing else, our study of the Pentateuch, and this is a part of our study of the entire Old Testament, will give you a flavor of how generous and kind God has been to write it down. I mean this, even the books that sometimes you don't read for your private devotions because they're so dull and boring, or you don't want to read at night because they give you nightmares, even those places, if you go to them, you begin to see that God has given us so much that is so good. He wrote it down. Kathy gave me this morning, just before we came in here, we got this letter from somebody in Georgia, and I had scribbled a note and sent it to them. And, you know, I do a lot of that. I often will sit at my desk and just scribble notes to people. And I used to have very fine, nice handwriting. But somebody told me that very intelligent people, like doctors, wrote messy. So I worked hard so I could make it as messy as it is. I'll tell you something. When I have to type sermon and teaching notes when I'm doing that, because if I write them out and teach an hour later after I wrote them out, I can't read my own handwriting. But anyway, this letter, and I'm reading, this is actually a letter that was given to me just before I came in here to talk to you. And it's addressed to the Steve Brown Handwriting Translation Team. Howdy. I received this nice note from Steve last August and need your help in translating the last underlined word. Sorry to bother you, but he wrote that I am a major something, and I'm interested to know what it is. I will enclose a stamped self-addressed envelope for your convenience in responding sincerely. And one of the staff people wrote back, Dear, and I'm not going to say anything because I didn't get permission to use it, but dear so-and-so, what a great letter. Imagine dealing with it for 24 years as I have. The word is benediction. That means that he was saying something good about you. Thanks for giving us a great blast. Blessings. And that was from Kathy, who has been with me for 24 years. But God didn't like that. You know, when he writes it down, he writes it down clearly. And if we're willing to study it, especially in the Older Testament, that some Christians sometimes avoid, we miss some very important things. Now, we just finished yesterday, if you were listening, the four major themes throughout the book of Deuteronomy. We examined the God who guides, a man who cares, a God who guides and is involved, a man who cares and who leads, a vision to be passed, and then we looked at a promise to be cherished. And then I've just opened the Bible here, and I'm going to go through just a couple of things that I really like in the book of Deuteronomy. Open, if you will, your Bible, if you're in a place where you can, to Deuteronomy 9 and Deuteronomy 10. Now, I'm not gonna take the time to read both of those chapters, but put a little check by both those chapters, and then read them when you get a chance. The first opens, "Hear, O Israel, you are to cross over the Jordan today and go in to dispossess nations greater and mightier than yourself, cities great and fortified up to heaven, a people great and tall, the descendants." And then he goes on and talks about all the people. "Do not think," this is the fourth verse, "do not think in your heart, after the Lord your God has cast them out before you, saying, because of my righteousness, my goodness, the Lord has brought me in to possess this land, but it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is driving them out from before you." And then God says some really bad stuff about God's people. I mean, this is not good for a good self-image. If you read the ninth chapter, you're going to say, well, if I was one of them, I'd sort of be depressed. Damn. I mean, God says some things that aren't very nice in that ninth chapter about God's people. And because you're so good or so wonderful, or so good-looking, or so handsome, or so beautiful, you're bad. you're really bad. And this is where you see grace, and it's everywhere in the Bible. You know, people always say, well, you only talk about the New Testament. God is a God of love, and he's never changed for his covenant people. God is a God of grace. He accepts you for his covenant people. And then a little check by the 10th chapter of Deuteronomy also. Because in the 9th chapter, Moses rehearses God's rebellion. And in the 10th chapter, Moses rehearses God's mercy. At that time, the Lord said to me, hew for yourself two tablets of stone like the first. Come up to me on the mountain and make yourself an ark of wood. And I will write on the tablets the words that were in the first tablets, which you broke, and you shall put them in the ark. And then as you start in the 12th verse of that 10th chapter, he talks about all that he's given to his people. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all of your soul. Then he says, indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God, also the earth with all that is in it. And then he says some incredibly gracious and merciful and loving things about himself as it relates to his people. Now, what does that say to you? I don't know about you, but it says to me, you know, we're not very good. Can we talk? I know you. I've been a pastor for a lot of years. I have a pastor friend who said to his congregation one time, if you knew me, you wouldn't want me to be your pastor. And, you know, there are always 10% of the congregation that don't like you much. If it gets much more than that, you ought to leave. If it gets any less than that, you haven't been faithful. And that's for the pastors who are listening right now to what I'm saying. About 10% of the congregation is shaking their heads up and down, thinking, you're right. Just a little I know of you, I don't like you, and I think you're ugly, and your mother dresses you funny, and I think you ought to leave anyway. If you resign, we will accept your resignation. And then my pastor friend, Jim Bears, his name, he just retired not too long ago, and he said, but let me tell you something else before you agree with me. If I knew you, I mean really knew you, I wouldn't want you for my congregation. The fact is, we're not very good people, but he's good, and he's good all the time. It's not our righteousness. It's not our goodness. The people who seem to be that way are faking it. It's called denial. That's not a river in Egypt either. They're denying their reality. The reality of us being sinners, badly in need of God's grace. And I believe, and that's what this broadcast is all about, and that's why you hear me teaching it all the time. I believe if you want to see revival take place in America, if you're concerned about our country, if you're concerned about the direction that we're going culturally, and I am, don't go around saying, I'm pure, and you ought to be pure too, and if God brings revival, he'll make you pure like me. Because I can't think of anything that won't work less than that. Or more than that. I'm doing the best I can. Yeah, the message that we have that's mind-blowing is, hey, we're not righteous, but God is. And God is really fond of us. Listen up. God likes us a lot. And he'll like you, too, if you go to him on the basis of the... That's the message. That's the message that turned the world upside down. Well, enough. Let me flip over a little bit. Look at the 15th chapter. I'm a tour director showing you some of the signs. Look at the 15th chapter of Deuteronomy, starting at the 19th verse. All the firstborn males that come from your herd and your flock, you shall sanctify to the Lord your God. You shall do no work with the firstborn of your herd, nor share the firstborn of your flock. You and your household shall eat it before the Lord your God year by year in the place where the Lord chooses. But if there is any defect in it, if it is lame or blind or has any serious defect, you shall not sacrifice it to the Lord your God. You may eat it within your gates. He said, wait. What's God doing? Well, when you go to the book of Hebrews, you begin to see what he's doing. God is saying, listen, I'm telling you something now that's going to prepare your mind and your thought forms for what I'm doing in the world, my major, major act in time and space. I'm going to send my son. You remember the only begotten son? You remember the firstborn? You remember without spot or blemish. You remember the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. God, in the book of Deuteronomy, was beginning to prepare with a shadow what would be the reality, with a myth in the best and deepest sense of that word for what would be the reality of that myth. That's an awesome God, ladies and gentlemen. That's a God who prepares his people so when hundreds of years later the incarnation took place and the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God and the Word was God and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. When that happened, every person who knew the Old Testament, if they wanted to, could say, oh man, that's what he meant. Good heavens! Now I understand. Now I see what God is doing. God is awesome. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, if you don't have our October, November, December magazine, it's centered around Christmas. That was a no-brainer. I'd really love to send it to you, and it's absolutely free. I wrote a piece in it called The Grace of Christmas. I'm a Scrooge, but I'm better, and I'm going to tell you how I'm getting better. And it'll help you if you're really uptight and tired, and we all are, and having trouble with Christmas. You're going to like this piece. And then Ron Mell wrote a wonderful piece, Lust Found a Way to Adopt Us. In the magazine, you'll find my itinerary. There's a question and answer column. There is, of course, a lot of special resources to get you and those you love home with freedom and joy and faithfulness to Christ as your crowning achievement. If you let us know, you can write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or you can write Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3. You can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address. Or give us a call at 1-800-KEY-LIFE. We do that 24 hours a day, and it's free, and I really mean that. However, this is a very hard time for us financially. If you would enclose a gift, if I could, I'd promise you some free sins, but you can't get free sins. But I'd be so grateful. You can charge them on your Master Charge, your Discover, or your Visa card, or include it in your envelope. And for any contribution of any size is my thank you. I'll send along your requested to possess grace, the heart of the incarnation. And oh, yes, Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.